Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, home of the surprise two-part episodes. Mostly just to me and Chelsea, because you guys see the titles when we make the episodes, which usually have part one of two or something like that. So we're just really the ones getting caught off guard. We are your sometimes less prepared than one thought podcast host, Taylor and Chelsea, here today doing a Chelsea episode, and I'll let her take it over from there.
It's pretty much every episode.
Yeah.
It feels like we're not prepared. But hey, I'm letting you in on too many secrets right now. So I was listening to the podcast, as I do when I'm not the editor that week, and inspiration was struck on the tunnel episode, because that was a golden episode.
It was a fun episode. It really harkens back to like our first couple seasons, where it was just like, give you a general overview of this entire topic without diving too much into it.
Yeah, that was fun. And then sometimes we took turns, which we just completely axed that idea.
Yeah, we really did.
It wasn't intentional, I don't think.
No.
It took too much coordinating, I think.
It took a little too much coordinating, and also it took away the ability to, like, have one person be the stand-in surprise person, or, like, the layman
who that's true.
Ask questions not knowing a lot about it.
Yeah, I forgot about that, because then when we know too much, we can't ask the questions.
Yeah, or you ask weird, different questions that wouldn't be the normal ones you'd want.
Yeah.
Not like our weird questions we ask.
Yeah, exactly. So inspiration was struck, and that's what ended up with my episode today, as it usually does. I'm inspired somehow, usually, to do an episode on mines. Mines with an N. Mistake that for an M. That would be such a fucking weird episode if I did mimes.
I mean, they are a fringy topic. Especially, there's got to be like haunted, it's cursed.
Or, do you think people do podcasts on mimes?
I would say no. But there's got to be like a John Wayne Gacy of mimes, does there not?
It's fucking creepy though.
Yeah.
Are you scared of mimes comes up. I just did a quick search because I was curious. Let's just jump right in. The number one thing that you're gonna find with, and it's spooky mines, we're not just talking about, I'm not just gonna list you mines in this episode,
okay?
We're gonna make,
and I assume they're not open pit mines. That just doesn't feel like it gives off spooky feels.
I'm not sure exactly what that is, so there might be.
Well, that's just where like they just like dig into the ground. You don't go into a mine itself.
I don't think so. But I don't know, we might be in for some surprises as we started this episode by saying,
hey, we like to be surprised by our episodes too.
Exactly.
Here, I'm going to share my screen.
As I'm constantly demonstrating.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is what I mean by an open pit mine. It just does not give off scary vibes. And I don't think there's going to be anything haunting those.
They're, you know, dinosaur ghosts, which we learned this week even, are a real thing from ChatGPT.
ChatGPT did confirm it, although it might have been reacting to what we've said about it.
I'm a little
creeped. We gotta be like on the forefront of dinosaur ghosts and dinosaur ghost research.
I believe that we are the first researchers.
We might in fact be the experts on this.
Yeah, I think we are. So if anybody needs an expert on dinosaur ghosts, we're your guys. So first one. First spooky thing you're ever gonna find with mines are Tommyknockers, which have come up, I believe, in a Halloween episode, but these guys might be a little bit different. They also fully need their own episode, I think.
Okay.
Because they're pretty cool guys. And I think you can find them in a variety of situations. And in this specific situation, you find them in mines. Tommyknockers are like the Irish equivalent of leprechaun. They're little wee people.
Sorry, Irish equivalent of leprechauns?
Yeah.
What ethnicity are leprechauns?
Irish? That didn't come out right.
Do you mean like they're the American version of Irish leprechauns?
They're Cornish.
Cornish, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So their equivalent would be Irish leprechauns, I think is how that meant to come out.
Okay.
And they're little people who share the underground with Cornish miners. Yeah.
And I always assume, like... I think we just should establish this early on. We're talking about miners in this episode. It's ER, not OR.
Yes.
The Cornish do not put their children underground.
Yes. Miners hear eerie sounds working underground. Sounds made by the earth moving along fault lines, miners in distant tunnels, lots of creepy sounds, dynamite charges, whirring machines echoing off tunnel walls, all could be attributed to Tommyknockers. Sounds of dripping water, braying mules, and creaking mine cars were compounded by total darkness. Cornish miners believe that benevolent Tommyknockers beckon them towards finding fortunes. They believe that Tommyknockers warned them of impending disasters, especially cave-ins. Tommyknockers were the diminutive creatures knocking on tunnel walls, signaling immediate danger. And some miners believe the Tommyknockers were the spirits of those who died underground, luring others to join them. If you actually saw a Tommyknocker, you're gonna die. This unfortunate characteristic has never been proven wrong because no one has ever seen one and lived to tell the tale. Trickster Tommyknocker tales were told both in jest and in seriousness. Tools disappeared. Items fell down shafts when dropped by deranged wee folk. They extinguished lamps and candles and left miners hopeless in the dark and committed other malevolent folklore.
Hey, is this a good moment for a few comments?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, first and foremost, it's weird that they're really nice to you, unless they're not, and they will murder you. But
oh yeah,
the weird way that was phrased is it does seem like people have seen Tommyknockers. Like, it's implied that some people have seen it, but like we would never really know about that unless they've been able to talk to someone prior to them dying.
Yeah, and I feel like more the idea is people sense their presence around them by the knocking and the missing of tools. They're like the trickster leprechauns.
But nicer than leprechauns.
I feel like they're related.
Except they may murder you.
Exactly. That's really what they're going for, I think. So I'm glad you picked up on that.
Yeah. But it is weird how they phrased it. Like, nobody has ever seen one and lived to tell about it.
Yeah.
Because that implies that, like, people have seen it and then were murdered because of it. But it could just be nobody's seen them.
Yeah. It could be either one, to be honest.
But the way it's phrased is implied that they've been murdered.
Yes. No, that's true. And that's a part of their, like, duality, I think, if I was to say anything. But I think they deserve a whole episode on their own, because from what I recall in the Halloween episode, I thought they lived in graveyards, but apparently they lived in mines. Yeah. So I'm not actually sure where they made an appearance in our episodes.
Just from the way they're named, it almost makes me think that, like, you know, that the ground's, like, shifting and moving. And, like, if you hear a Tommyknocker, that's the ground shifting. And it's a good sign that maybe you shouldn't be going into this part of the mine.
Yeah.
Just the very practical approach to it.
Well, I think this is a very old kind of thing as well. It's folklore. And it's before they had safeguards and stuff with the mines, as technology grants you. Not everybody can have a marathon running robot just at hand back in these days.
Wait, do you think that's
them.
What they're going to be doing with the marathon running?
Yes.
Sending them into the mines?
Yeah. I kind of have an inkling, yeah. I mean, okay. I wouldn't...
Even the toddlers?
Especially the toddler. Do you see him? He's made for working in the mine. I think the Tommyknockers definitely deserve more. That's all I got on them for now. Except that there are still modern reports of Tommyknockers. No, I don't think I finished my sentence. So this was back when, in the days of old, before they had safeguards for, you know, not having mines cave in and such. I don't know a whole lot about mining, but I assume that there could be things that they do better now about it.
Yeah, they got the robots going in there.
Yeah, exactly.
They have competitions to see which robot gets the mining one, because they all want it so bad.
Yeah, the future's looking bright. But the folklore probably started around something like that. Creaks in the mine, danger, it's going to collapse, Tommyknocker, stuff like that. I can't put it all fully together in a nice vision for you right now. You get the buzzwords that I'm saying.
Until one of them murdered somebody because it saw them.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, very dangerous, those Tommyknockers, but also the nicest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah, that you'll never meet.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
So there are still modern reports of Tommyknockers, sounds of unexplained knocking or laughter that are still reported in abandoned U.S. mines, like those in Colorado and West Virginia, and sounds like they could have their own episode, like I said, that we're going back to, you know, just a brief overview, and we're on to the next one already. The next one, do you have anything else to add about Tommyknockers?
I don't think so, other than, so it's a Cornish and American thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it. You followed correctly.
Good job. Just wanted to make sure.
Yep. Okay. The second mine is the Belmez Faces of the Mines, Spain. This one's not a mine per se. The guidelines were loose on this one. It was loose. What can I say? It's mine adjacent, though, I think. Mines do come up.
Why don't you just say what it is? All I know is in Spain.
What is it?
I don't know. You said it's not a mine. That's all,
yeah,
I know.
You just have to listen. Stop interrupting me.
Okay.
In a Spanish mining town. See?
Oh,
there,
okay.
We go.
It's the town.
Well, we're getting there. It's not a town, I don't think.
Oh.
Ghostly faces were said to appear on the floor of a miner's home after a death in the family. Reports of appearances in Belmez began on the 23rd of August 1971, when Maria Gomez Camara claimed that a human face formed spontaneously on her concrete kitchen floor. Maria's husband, Juan Pereira, and their son Miguel destroyed the image with a pickaxe, and new concrete was laid down. Can you imagine getting to that point where you're like, fuck this face in the concrete?
What year is this?
Son, get the pickaxe. 1971.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's a little past where I would feel like a pickaxe response is, yeah, needed. Maybe put down, yeah, some carpet or a rug.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Yeah, rugs didn't exist in
Spain. Spanish are just so fiery. Yeah.
They are fiery.
They're always looking for an excuse to get that pickaxe out.
They really are. However, the Pereira story goes, a new face formed on the floor. The mayor of Belmez was informed and forbade the destruction of the new face. Instead, the floor concrete was cut out and taken for study. I love how they do things in Spain. Maria's home was advertised to tourists a La Casa de las Caras, the House of the Faces. By Easter 1972, hundreds of people were flocking to the house to see the faces. For the next 30 years, the Pereira family claimed that faces continued to appear, both male and female, and of different shapes, sizes, expressions. Local legend has it that the house was built over an old graveyard. Excavations beneath the home in 1972 revealed human remains. Some skulls missing jaws, others buried strangely. The remains were exhumed and reburied elsewhere. For a while, the faces stopped, then they came back. More vivid, more detailed, as if disturbed spirits had found a new way to speak. Some believe the faces are psychic imprints of the dead. What paranormal theorists called stone tape theory? Never heard of that. The idea that strong emotions can imprint themselves onto physical materials like a recording. And that's the Belmez faces. Much more detailed than the Tommyknockers, I gotta say.
Well, it's one thing that's not going on for generations unknown.
Yeah.
That will kill you if you see it. This is a lot more one specific mine working individual.
Yeah.
Who decided to haunt his place near the mine.
Exactly.
And Spanish things ensue.
Yes, very Spanish.
Responds in Spanish.
Now you know why I say mine adjacent. I did say mine a few times in there. you noticed.
Yeah, you really emphasized them when they came up.
I wanted to make sure that you knew. Okay, this one has to... I don't want to pick favorites, but this one's my favorite in the episode, and you're going to see why in a second. September 10th, 1978, a group of miners in Freiburg, Germany, approached the mine's entrance to begin their day of work. As they got closer, they noticed a man appearing to be wrapped in a dark trench coat standing in front of the entrance of the mine. Unsure as to why the man was standing there, a few of the workers approached to investigate. However, when they got a few feet away from the man, what they thought was a trench coat flung open and formed a pair of huge, outstretched wings attached to his dark figure. The miners who had approached stood in shock, and after a moment, the dark figure let out a series of piercing shrieks, which would later be described by eyewitnesses as sounding like 50 men screaming and the sound of trains' emergency brakes. The miners fled from the creature and the mine's entrance. From a safe distance, the men observed what would later be dubbed the Freiburg Shrieker as it folded its wings back around its body and stood motionless in front of the mine. The miners reportedly began to busy themselves with cleaning up outside the mine.
They are Germans. They just got at work.
Yeah. Hoping that the shrieker would go away. It is unclear why they did not report the beast to the local authorities. After waiting for what seemed like an hour, at approximately 8 a.m., the miners were startled by a massive subterranean explosion, which rocked the mine and shook the very ground on which they stood. They rushed to the mine's entrance to discover the shrieker was gone, and a huge plume of smoke and flame bellowed from the entrance of the mine. When the smoke and flame died down, the officials were able to examine the mine. It was determined that all 36 miners, should they have been at their designated posts, would have perished. This has led some investigators to suggest that the Freiburg Shrieker appeared that day to prevent the men from entering the mine and in the process saved their lives. Some researchers have made the link between the Freiburg Shrieker and such winged beasts as the Blackbird of Chernobyl and the Moth.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
All creatures which have been sighted before disasters and are thought to actually be the same entity, believed to be an omen of disasters of which to come.
I had never heard of the Blackbird of Chernobyl.
Neither have I, actually.
So that's going on the list.
That is definitely going on the list.
Haunted nuclear reactors.
Oh, that's going on the list too. But that is Mothman, my beloved.
Yeah, I did not know there was a German Mothman. And yeah, it is.
I did not know so either.
It is unique, particularly in this case, that this weird sighting corresponds to like a significant event and people being saved.
It's also very weird that he just stands there. Like,
and screams. Yeah, he's like, don't go in there.
Yeah, and he's really keeping them out. But like, usually paranormal things are not things that just stick around.
Yeah,
and just stand
but yeah
there.
No, this usually one was like, hey, no, yeah, don't go in there,
you just fuck off right now from going in there.
I'm gonna scream.
He's being a hero, and definitely not a Tommyknocker, because he definitely saved their lives and they're all alive
and was definitely seen
today.
Yeah.
Probably, maybe not, who knows. I made that up.
It's the 70s. It's like 50 years. But quite a few of them are probably dead at this point.
Yeah.
But not due to an explosion in a mine, I hope.
Probably. I mean, we're led to believe. Can you imagine surviving one explosion in a mine and dying in another one? That's bad.
Do you really call that surviving an explosion?
Yes.
I feel like that's avoiding an explosion.
I mean, at that point, you're just like...
I mean, technically, I've survived, like, every explosion since I was born by not being anywhere near them.
That is true.
I've never heard of the Mothman's wings looking like a trench coat. That is an interesting description, and I can also kind of see how it got there. But, like, also, the first time we've
heard that... Do you know how fucking fast I would be out of there if I saw something spread wings like that?
You mean you wouldn't be busying yourself with cleanup because the boss is, like, getting mad at you?
I would be so far gone by the time they were fully extended. Because that is the creepiest thing in the
universe. Not only extended, but screaming at the decibel level of 50 people and railroad.
I don't think it's the screaming that would get me. It would be the wings.
Yeah.
The human-sized wings. I'd be gone in an instant. You'd be like, wasn't Chelsea just right beside me? And I'm driving away. Like, gone, gone.
Taking a personal day.
Yeah. I'm never coming back. Don't get any ideas if Mothman is listening to this. You better not be at my work tomorrow. Lost Dutchman Mine in Arizona, United States. The Lost Dutchman Mine is one of the most famous lost treasures in American history. When I was writing this one, it kind of reminded me of the... Remember that one? It's not a mine. It was a cave, I think, that had all the Egyptian treasure in the Grand Canyon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in the Grand Canyon. Yeah.
That one seemed like a famous lost treasure. I can't remember if that one was real or not. Was it real?
It's not.
It was not. Okay.
No. No, the art, the stories from the day made it fairly clear it was not real.
Right. Okay. I knew I was forgetting a part of that story. Hidden somewhere in the Superstition Mountains of Arizona, which I didn't even know was a thing.
It's a great name for
it. It is a really great name. I really like this for where the story's going. This legendary gold mine has captured the imagination of treasure hunters for over a century. Many have tried to find it, but few have succeeded. The tale of the Lost Dutchman's gold mine is a story woven with mystery and greed. The legend centers on Jacob Waltz. He was a German immigrant. Lots of German in the story. This episode, actually. It's the... How is it described? Like, it's the best language, I think. As one... What the hell is his name?
It's the purest language, as we know. Billy Meyer.
Billy Meyer, right. I always just think one arm. That's all. That's how I identify him. He's a German immigrant, mistakenly called Dutchman from Douche. Douche? I don't know. Who? I don't know. I don't speak German. I'm not sure how exactly you pronounce that. Who allegedly discovered a gold-rich mine in the 19th century. Waltz kept its location secret, revealing only cryptic clues on his deathbed in 1891. He claimed the mine was so well hidden that, quote, you could drive a pack train over it and never know it was there, end quote. I don't even know the implications of that. Waltz's clues were vague. Quote, from my mine, you can see the military trail, but from the trail, you cannot see my mine. The rays of the setting sun shine into the entrance and glitter with gold, end quote. Maps, stone tablets, and supposed landmarks like Weaver's Needle have only deepened the mystery. The Superstition Mountains were considered sacred by the Apache, who warned that disturbing the land would invoke a curse. Spanish conquistadors ignored these warnings and were said to have vanished mysteriously. Some found mutilated and beheaded. Later, the Peralta family mined the area but were ambushed and killed, their spirits rumored to haunt the range. Many who search for this legendary gold mine in the Superstition Mountains either disappear or go mad. Treasure hunters have long sought the mine, but many met grim fates. Adolf Ruth, in 1931, vanished while searching. His skull was later found with bullet holes. Multiple, I guess? Jesse Capen in 2009 disappeared during an expedition. His remains were discovered years later. Others have been searching for the mine, have encountered eerie lights, phantom footsteps, ghostly figures in the mountains, reports of shadowy figures, even skinwalker-like beings have been reported in and around the area.
And that could technically be within their range, correct?
It is, yes, it definitely is. Because, you know, they have shock collars on them or something and they can't leave the area, I believe.
Well, yeah, it's only the area that they're used to was the whole thing.
Yeah, it gives them power. somehow.
And it can't be zoo animals. I do specifically remember that. Or native animals.
That was a good
Which is why you don't hear about like weird exotic animals being imported to that region of the world specifically in like weird circumstances, not to zoos. It would be weird if like the most like exotic animal zoo was in like small rural Nevada.
Some takes even mention strange creatures guarding the gold. But do with that what you will, because if it was guarding the gold, then, you know, it'd be standing where the mine was and it'd be easier to find.
You think it's a Tommyknocker?
Could be.
So that if anybody sees the treasure, they see a Tommyknocker and they die?
You know, that would really be a smart thing to do. If I ever had something in which I really wanted no one to find, I would have to find a Tommyknocker.
Well, but then you gotta communicate with the Tommyknocker, which probably inevitably means you're gonna see the Tommyknocker and die.
Yeah, I wonder if they have, like, you know how you get leprechauns with lucky charms? They have to have something like that, and you just put those out.
I don't know why, but instead of lucky charms, I thought you were going to say leprosy. Don't know why. It just kind of felt like it was the natural progression word.
You know how our favorite person always thinks there's synchronicities and things that aren't synchronicities? This one actually is, because leprosy has come up a few times this week, and now you're saying leprosy right now. So it's not a good synchronicity, but it is still a synchronicity. I don't know why it's come up so much this week. But alas, okay. That brings us to our last one, which is the Wabana ore mine on Belle Island, Newfoundland. Have you heard of Belle Island before?
Yeah, I have. There's an entire series about that one.
On our podcast?
Not on our podcast. It's on, I think it was a Discovery Channel.
Really? Okay, I'd never heard about it before. And apparently...
I need to make sure. Is this the one with the potentially it's a mine, but nobody really knows for sure and they can never get to the bottom of it?
No, it's definitely a mine. Oh, are you talking about... Oh, I know what one you're talking about. The Curse of... Oak Island, you're thinking of. Is that
Oak Island? Okay, then never mind. Yes.
Okay,
then
You've never heard of Belle Island. Okay,
I potentially have not.
Newfoundland. It's literally right off the coast of Newfoundland. It's right there, as you gather from what I'm saying. It's apparently, which is hard to do, I don't know how many islands there are in North America, apparently the most haunted island in North America. It took me a little bit to actually look into what's going on at the mine, because so much stuff came up for what's going on Belle Island. It's a shitload. It needs its own episode. Now I want to go to Belle Island for a little bit and then leave. The Wabana iron ore mines began around the turn of the 20th century. The mines included 6 shafts and operated for 71 years. The mines closed in June 1966 after producing 79 million tons of iron ore.
For that mine. That seems like a lot.
It had a huge role in the wars. Huh. Lots of war history going on with it as well. There were tragic mining accidents that led to the haunting here. Ghost miners are said to be seen both inside and outside the sealed mines. Some even say that at 5 p.m., when it was time for a shift change, a whole stream of ghostly miners have been seen entering and exiting. There are numerous tales of people seeing phantom miners down there in the darkness, as well as suddenly finding white crosses etched into the stone where there were none moments before. The white crosses were used by miners as a way of honoring their fallen, making it seem as if they were trying to communicate to the living from beyond the grave. Besides the shadow figures and mysteriously appearing crosses, visitors have heard muffled, disembodied whispering or footsteps, felt an icy wind rush past, and often there is a dreadful feeling of being watched. Shadow figures are often sighted, and phantom screams can be heard coming from the mine.
I almost feel this is a phase worse than like having to haunt a graveyard. Like having to haunt the place that you worked, and you're like, God, I just want to get out of here. And you're just gonna keep working even after you die.
Yeah, you're right, actually. That is worse than like a graveyard or like a haunted house or something. Because
at least you get to talk to different people at a graveyard. Yeah. At a mine site, those are the people that you worked with. There was probably that guy you didn't like, but you had to make small talk with.
Yeah, or the guy that was at a Coldplay concert with the CEO with the head of HR.
Yeah.
So embarrassing.
God.
Dude, I had to.
That would be like him having to haunt Coldplay concerts once he dies. But that still sounds better than having to haunt a mine.
Yeah. No, it does, actually. You're right. That is a fate worse than death, I think, is dying at work and having to be at work for the rest of your life. That just brings a whole new level of empathy to them. Like I said, there is a military angle to this. Some believe secret Cold War experiments took place here, possibly opening portals or time slips, as witnesses claim to lose hours or feel disconnected in certain mind sections. I don't know that that's necessarily like Cold War experiments. It could be something more paranormal than that. But there are more military angles to it than not because of the war history that is in this place. I feel like it would be a really good episode to dive into more so. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about it just to give you guys something to look forward to when we eventually do this episode. April 2nd, 1978, a powerful and unexplained explosion shook Belle Island, Newfoundland, and Labrador, causing blinding flashes, deafening thunder, and electrical damage. It's known as the Belle Island Boom, and the blast was so strong it registered on seismographs and drew international attention, including visits from Canadian military, Soviet officials, and mysterious U.S. personnel allegedly from Los Alamos. Theories range from rare atmospheric phenomena like ball lightning to electromagnetic amplification from abandoned iron ore mines. We just said that one. Some locals attributed it to the island's haunted history, while others linked it to skyquakes and global reports of strange booms. What's a skyquake?
I have no idea. Huh. They sound common.
Yeah, it does. Like, we should know what it is at the very least. Fueling speculation about secret weapons, EM warfare, or extraterrestrial activity. Despite investigations, no definitive explanation has ever been found for this boom, leaving the Belle Island boom a lasting Canadian mystery filled with science, folklore, and conspiracy. And that's how I'm going to end off this episode, with something that is not even mine related, but related to a place that has a mine there and is very haunted.
Wikipedia says that it's attributed to a lightning superbolt, which I didn't even know was a thing either.
Oh, Coast to Coast AM actually just posted a video was where I saw it. It probably came from another source. But somebody in Alberta captured ball lightning on film.
No.
Yeah, and it's pretty crazy because I thought that everyone was just making it up that ball lightning is a thing.
Huh, yeah, 5 days ago. Okay, I'm going to have to take a look at that.
Yeah. Pretty cool thing, but
yeah,
it's a podcast, so you can't watch it here. So
if you want to narrate it to you guys, we're more than happy to.
Yeah, just we love to do stuff like that.
It sounds like an easy job.
But yeah, those are my however many number of points about mines. Some mine adjacent, some actually about being in the mines.
Yeah, and I've learned a lot about mines. It made me think what's really the difference between a mine and a tunnel, but they're different. Don't know
they
why.
Are definitely. They are. Well, a tunnel is a means of transportation, I think, is if I was to come up with something on the fly. A mine is a mean of extracting resources.
Yeah, I guess a mine could turn into a tunnel. I don't know if a tunnel can turn into a mine, can it?
Yes.
I guess if you were
if you started digging into the wall potentially
and you found
and
gold.
Found
yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Like they started the tunnel and they found gold.
Yeah. Then it tunnel becomes mine. I don't think they exist together though.
I don't think it could be both at once.
I think they could. Yeah. No, I don't think a mine.
You have to keep them separate.
Yeah. It has to be separate.
The whole regulation side of the mining thing might force you to keep it separate.
Yeah. Now, back in the Tommyknocker days, no regulation, but now we're in the era of mine
less
robots.
Tommyknockers. Yeah. Mine marathon robot. And with that, I have been Taylor here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.